From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For many weeks, Dr. Cairns has been studying the book of Judges, the unhappy record of Israel in the years following the death of Joshua and of those who had seen the Lord's power in the conquest of the land of Canaan. The book recounts the repeated cycles of Israel's disobedience, apostasy, and frequent enslavement by the heathen peoples whom they failed to drive out of the land. In mercy, God raised up deliverers in the persons of the various judges, men of God who led the people out of their bondage time after time. In the opening chapters of 1 Samuel, we find the account of the last two judges, Eli and Samuel. Eli was both a judge and a high priest, a man of many good qualities. But as Dr. Cairns will show, Eli failed as a father, and his failure resulted in disastrous consequences for his family, himself, and for the nation. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will introduce a message entitled, A Fatal Flaw in a Man of God. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher, C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. How different will be the state of the believer in heaven from what it is here. Here he is born to toil and suffer weariness, but in the land of the immortal, fatigue is never known. Anxious to serve his master, he finds his strength unequal to his zeal. His constant cry is, Help me to serve thee, O my God. If he be thoroughly active, he will have much labor, not too much for his will, but more than enough for his power, so that he will cry out, I am not wearied of the labor, but I am wearied in it. Ah, Christian, the hot day of weariness lasts not forever. The sun is nearing the horizon. It shall rise again with a brighter day than thou hast ever seen, upon a land where they serve God day and night, and yet rest from their labors. Here rest is but partial. There it is perfect. Here the Christian is always unsettled. He feels that he has not yet attained. There all are at rest. They have attained the summit of the mountain. They have ascended to the bosom of their God. Higher they cannot go. Ah, toil-worn laborer, only think when thou shalt rest forever. Canst thou conceive it? It is a rest eternal, a rest that remaineth. Here my best joys bear mortal on their brow. My fair flowers fade. My dainty cups are drained to dregs. My sweetest birds fall before death's arrows. My most pleasant days are shadowed into nights, and the flood tides of my bliss subside into ebbs of sorrow. But there, everything is immortal. The harp abides unrusted, the crown unwithered, the eye undimmed, the voice unfaltering, the heart unwavering. And the immortal being is wholly absorbed in infinite delight. Happy day, when mortality shall be swallowed up of life, and the eternal Sabbath shall begin.
Shout, glory, glory, hallelujah. By the grace of forever, I will shout aloud and sing. see from whom those comforts flow.
Shout, glory, glory, hallelujah. I will praise God forever. I will shout aloud and sing. Shout, glory, glory, hallelujah. 10,000 precious gifts my daily base employ. Shout, glory, glory, hallelujah.
Nor is the least a cheerful heart that tastes those gifts with joy.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions, such as, why did Christ have to be born a man? Why does God allow suffering? What is the unpardonable sin? And what's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such questions. All of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. But we're also pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 20th century Christian. You may have a copy of the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
1 Samuel 2 and verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came, while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, "Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw." And if any man said unto him, "Let them not feel to burn the fat presently, and them take as much as thy soul desireth," then he would answer him, "Nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force." Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Verse 27. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord God, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation? And honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart. And all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, and Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of this familiar passage from his own precious word for his name's sake. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We may well write those words over the life of Eli, and indeed over his entire house. Eli was a judge of Israel, but in the home of the judge, sin was unjudged until the Lord himself came and poured out his judgment upon it. Eli lived to be 98 years old. immediately you'll see his was rather a long life. There's a little controversy over the exact method of dating the period covered by the book of Judges, but on a very conservative method of doing so, it may well be that the very long life of Eli overlapped quite a few of the other judges and stretched back, indeed, very probably, to the times of Gideon. In all, then, his life covered almost one quarter of the entire period covered by the book of Judges. And he himself served in the capacity of a judge for 40 years. When you study what the Bible has to say about Eli, you'll find that there is a lot to commend this man. But all his success and all his service are overshadowed by one monumental failure. That was his failure with his own sons, his failure in his own home. Eli was of the line of Ithamar, the fourth son of Aaron, the first high priest of Israel. You remember that Aaron had four sons. The first two were slain by the Lord for offering false fire. And then the high priesthood ran in the line of the third son, Eleazar. But for some reason that we're not told, by the time of Eli, God in his sovereign wisdom had transferred the lineage of the high priest from the line of Eleazar to that of Ithamar, and so it came to Eli and his house. Not only so, but when Eli was 58 years old, the Lord added to him the office of a judge. In this, Eli was unique. He was the only man throughout that 400 or so year period in which a man served as the high priest and as the judge. And thus he was charged with administering both the ecclesiastical and the civil law of Israel. When you read these chapters in the historical context of the book of Judges, you could say that this man's period as a judge started out in relative, and of course that is the operative word. Things were never, at least at that particular period, completely under control. You may remember I described to you in a past night how there was a threat from the one side and a threat from the other, the Ammonites coming from one side, the Philistines coming from another. But as he started out his ministry, it was in a period of relative tranquility. When he finished in absolute tragedy. Halfway through his term, the Philistines began in earnest a 40-year period of oppression of Israel. So the last 20 years of this man's life were spent under the strain of a constant heathen pressure. But worse still, there was heathenism on the inside of Israel, and even in the high priest's own house. We have read tonight about Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli. As sin abounded in the nation, these two men dragged their priestly office into the mire and into the depths of shame. They profaned the Lord's sacrifice. They caused men to abhor the altar. Apostates always do. You can always note an apostate, the result of his work and ministry, if it may be called by that name, is always to undervalue and cause scorn to be heaped upon the work of the offering, the work of the Lamb, the blood that was shed at Calvary. These two apostates profaned, abused, and despised the work and the bloodshedding of the altar. And then they imported even more heathenism into Israel, and they were the men who introduced the heathen practice of temple prostitution into Israel. This was a scandalous state of affairs. And here was Eli, the high priest. God had given him the charge that he would administer the law in the church courts. He had to deal with these priests. Then, of course, he was the judge in a civil court. And again, charged with that, he had the duty to stop the incursions of heathenism into the nation. But Eli was an indulgent father, unwilling to move against his own sons in the capacity of a high priest or in the capacity of the judge. His remonstrations with them were very, very feeble. Then we come to the part where we started reading tonight, where the Lord sent a man of God, and he announced the judgment of heaven upon Eli, upon his sons, and upon their house. By this time, of course, the Lord had sent Samuel into the life of Eli, and he had the job of training up an adopted son in the tabernacle. And as Eli's natural sons waxed worse and worse, according to the record here, this adopted son, Samuel, was being groomed for leadership. That leadership first emerged when the Lord called Samuel. You remember that famous story? He did not yet know the Lord. He didn't know the voice of the Lord. But the Lord called him, and at last he was instructed to say, "Speak, speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth." Such was his lack of knowledge of the Lord that he was afraid to use the name of the Lord. He simply answered this strange voice that came to him, "Speak, thy servant heareth." And he got the message again from the Lord of judgment on the house of Eli, sealing the final doom of that house. The sentence was soon executed. Israel had been defeated by the Philistines, and they decided that they would go to battle the next time carrying with them the Ark of the Covenant. Now, in itself, that showed the depths of apostasy in Israel. The Ark of the Covenant was beyond the veil in the Holy of Holies. Only one man could ever enter there, and even that was just once a year, and that was the high priest himself. And yet these men with profane hands put aside the veil. They went into the holiest of all. They took the Ark of the Covenant, and carrying it as if it were an idol, they sallied forth into battle. And at the disastrous Battle of Aphek, were totally defeated. The sons of Eli were slain. The Ark of the Covenant was taken and carried by victorious heathens to the house of their God. When the news of that battle came, Eli could take the word that his sons were dead. But as he trembled for the Ark of God and heard that it was taken, the old 98-year-old high priest fell off his seat, broke his neck, and passed into God's eternity. That day of infamy and shame ended with the additional death of the wife of Phinehas as she gave birth to a son. And in her dying moments, and in the bitterness of her soul, she aptly named him Ichabod. Where is the glory? For the glory of the Lord was departed.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.